Good morning to one and all, and please remain standing. Please remain standing as we make our beginning. We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins unto God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us and forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the peace of the Lord, let us pray. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. O Lord, keep your family, the church, continually in the true faith, that relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may ever be defended by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Isaiah chapter 58, verses 3 through 9. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it a bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, proclaiming Christ crucified. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fifth chapter.
Glory to you,
Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not a dot, not an iota will pass away from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated as we join together in singing, "Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus." Grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon you this very day. Our text is taken from this week's Immersed Bible reading
on Exodus,
and we are now in the week 4. I don't know about you as you reflect back on your dating experiences, Abby, do you? But as we start to think about those times when we were dating that loved one of ours, I recall my spouse, Desiree. We wanted to establish a relationship and get to know each other. And we became friends first, and we spent time talking and laughing and talking again on the phone, some of it personally time. We'd go out to the airport in Minneapolis, and we would look at the people and the planes and do a little studying. And we started as the conversations began to unfold and the relationship became a little closer and built. We were beginning to see that we were really building a future. And we were really beginning to dream dreams that our lives were becoming immersed together. And when we had a child, we wanted to spend time bonding with that child. We wanted to have a relationship with this baby. "I am your mommy. I am your daddy," we would say. "And I will feed you, I will change you, I will care for you in every way and at any time of the day or night. Norma, does that sound right? Okay. How about you, Natalie? Does that sound like your mom? Okay. Well, if you're a child still living at home, look at your mom or look at your dad right now and say thank you. Thank you. Because what they were doing as parents, they were really saying, I love you with all of my heart. I will dedicate my life to loving you and raising you and caring for you. And that's how it is with God. The God of the Old Testament describes himself in the name, one of the names is Yahweh. And as he calls himself this, he says to the children of Israel, again in Exodus 20, he says, I am the Lord your God who rescued you out of the land of Egypt and of your slavery. A slavery that lasted over 400 years, but God was with them. He gave them right after that the Ten Commandments from the position not of power, but rather of a relationship with them. And I want you to know today, each and every one of you, that the thing God most wants with you is that each and every one of us will have a personal, living, vital relationship with Him. I want you to know it is the Lord God who created you. It is the Lord God who sent His own Son to suffer and to die, pay the price for your sins and the penalty for them and your shortcomings. And He restored that relationship which would have otherwise been severed for eternity through His Son, Jesus Christ. I also want you to know that God has sent His own Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one who creates, strengthens, and keeps us in a faith relationship with God. Today, you will again see the lengths to which God went to establish that relationship, hopefully with us, but also with children of Israel. Now, God spoke about communication. He's talked about this with Moses, and He said, inside the tent of meeting, the Lord will meet with you as one friend does with another. The Lord replied, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. God, Moses pleaded with, was the one he personally asked, would you personally go with Israel? Asking, how will anyone know that you look favorably upon us unless you go with us? For your presence among us sets us apart from all the people on the earth. And the reply of the Lord was, indeed, I will do for you as you have asked. He then said, I will perform miracles that have never been seen or performed anywhere in all of the earth, in any nation. And all the people around you will see the power of the Lord and the awesome power that I will display. Upon reading this, I prayed for us at Trinity. I prayed that God would go with us in this second century of our existence. I prayed for His presence among us in our worship and in our ministry, worship, witness, and word, fellowship, and stewardship. And I prayed that our plans would be really His plans. I prayed that I would be the leader that He'd called me to be, and that as a people, pastor and people, we would together be the body of Christ intended for this place at this time. I took great comfort in what the Lord told Moses and asked the Lord to have that be done in our midst. And you remember God's response to Moses? I will personally go with you. I will give you rest and everything will be fine for you. I don't know if you knew it or not, but God attends here. He's present in our worship again today. He hears and answers our prayers. He hears and will offer you forgiveness and freedom. I will also redeem and restore your relationship with me, is what God says. And your relationship with your fellow man. So if there's things amiss, God is here to help you. I will show you my love as you worship me, He says. And God put it this way to Moses, speaking of the presence of God, I will meet you and speak with you in the tabernacle entrance. I will meet the people of Israel there in the place made holy by my presence. Then I will live among the people of Israel and be their God, and they will know that I am the Lord their God. I am the one who will bring them out of the land of Egypt so that I can live among them. I am the Lord their God. God wants to live among us, here in our worship, yes, but also in our daily life, in every place of our life. God wants us to know that He is the Lord, our God who hears and answers our prayer, who provides for us and protects us on a daily basis, the one who has been there to redeem, rescue, and restore our relationship with God, even unto eternity. He wants you and me to know that He hears and answers our prayer, that He's really with us. He's engaged in our everyday life. I pray that God will perform miracles amongst us as He did for Israel. And yes, display His awesome power. As a priest, Aaron was Moses' brother. His dress and his garb was really interesting, but one of the things that he had was a sacred chest piece that was over his heart. And upon it were the 12 tribes of Israel engraved. He also wore two ephods, which were kind of like hanging down shoulder pads, that also had stones. And upon those stones were the 12 tribes of Israel. Their names were again engraved. He also wore a turban. And on that turban was a medallion of pure gold. And with these words in the center of it were inscribed, "Holy to the Lord." Aaron was told he must wear this on his forehead so that he might show himself and cover any of the guilt of the people of Israel when they offered sacred offerings. But he also should wear this on his forehead so that the Lord would accept the people. As a priest, Aaron was the representative of the people before God and God to the people. And this turban had clearly marked that both the priest and people were holy to the Lord. This text reminds me of my priestly duties as your pastor, to pray for you, to represent you before the Lord in my prayers and ministry amongst you, and to remind you of your status before the Lord, holy to the Lord. I hope you hear those words and see the beauty and the splendor and the promise of them. But God had established a relationship with Israel and Moses. But there was something that happened at the foot of the mountain while Moses was atop. It was sin in Sinai, you might say. Israel got anxious when Moses didn't come back down from his meeting with God. And the children of Israel said to Aaron, "Come, make us some gods who can lead us. We don't know what happened to Moses who brought us out here from the land of Egypt." So Aaron took gold rings and he melted it down and molded it into the shape of a calf. And when the people saw it, they exclaimed, "Oh, Israel, these are the gods who brought you out of the land of Egypt." And they offered sacrifices to the calf. God's anger burned against the sin of Israel. But Moses pled with God, and he offered prayers and petitions on their behalf to God. And he asked them to ask God to spare the children of Israel because of the promise he had made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God relented and God changed his mind. Moses was so angry, however, when he came to the foot of the mountain and saw what Aaron and the children of Israel were doing. He threw the Ten Commandments down and broke them. And then he took the calf that was molten and shaped as a calf in the form of with the gold. He ground it, melted it down, and then turned it to powder. And he threw it into the water and he forced the people to drink it. Listen to Aaron's confession. You know Aaron, the priest of the people? Aaron said, "You know how evil these people are, Moses. They said, 'Make us gods,' and those gods would lead us. So I told them to bring their earrings and gold, and I simply threw it into the fire, Moses. And out came this calf. Poof! It's not my fault, Lord. It just happened." Does that ever sound like you? Or like me as we stand before someone in authority over us who's caught us in something that we shouldn't have done? Perhaps not. But perhaps. As we look at Aaron, I've got to say, what a lie. And he also turned back his back on his people. He didn't represent the people of Israel. He threw them under the bus. He called them evil. Aaron caved and followed the wishes of the crowd more than his creator. And the judgment of God for worshiping another false god, that day 3,000 people died. God takes seriously who we worship. The presence of God. Moses, as he stood in the presence of the Lord, would often come down the mountain, and when he did, people would always know that he'd been with the Lord because his face glowed. He had a radiant countenance. And you may remember that in the New Testament when Jesus was on top of the mountain of transfiguration, that his face glowed also. In fact, Peter, James, and John says his clothes became dazzling white because he'd been in the presence of the Lord. You know, I look at you and I see sometimes that you've been in the presence of the Lord. It's how you carry your cross. It's how you deal with the stresses and strains of everyday life. It's how you are strengthened by the Lord that I see a countenance that's changed. I see a glow. One day I was sitting at an airport, and I was sitting there waiting for a flight when a lady came up to me and she said, "You're a Christian. Would you pray for me?" I said, "Certainly." And as I thought about her words, I thought, how strange. How did she know I was a Christian? I wasn't wearing this funny shirt, you know, with the white part in the front, because I didn't have a tie, you know. I also didn't have my robes on, and I wasn't reading my Bible. I hadn't bought all the snacks and goodies out and given them to the kids in the airport. What was it that she saw? And I look at you and I see the things and how people relate to you. And I see the kindness and the way in which you interact with people. And I too see a countenance that's different. That you're a Christian. How you talk to people. How you care for them. How you listen to them. How you carry yourself. How you relate to them. How you deal with stresses and strains in life. And I see that you also have been people who've been with Jesus, and your radiance and countenance glows. Now, the people of God were to worship God at the tabernacle, and he would be present there and dwell amongst the people. To construct the tabernacle of God, God gave some very specific instructions on how to build it and what materials had to be used. Here are the responses of God's people. These are three stewardship lessons. Lesson number one. Moses said, "Come to the people of Israel, all you who are gifted craftsmen, construct everything that the Lord has commanded." He was calling all volunteers to be engaged in the work of the Lord. Stewardship lesson number two. All those whose hearts were stirred and whose spirits were moved came and they brought sacred offerings to the Lord, and they willingly brought them. Stewardship lesson number three. The people of Israel, every man and woman, was eager to help in the work of the Lord, brought their gifts and gave them freely to the Lord. Craftsmen, spinners, sewers, engravers, carpentry and the like, they were eager to get to work. And guess what? They had more than enough materials to complete their job. Page 141, if you're reading in Immerse. Listen to these statistics. The people of Israel brought special offerings of gold totaling 2,193 pounds. If you take 16 ounces in a pound times the cost of gold or the price of gold today, and then take that times 2,193, guess what you get? $55 million is what the people of God brought forth to construct this tabernacle. They also brought 7,545 pounds of silver, or $2 million in today's standards. Trinity, I know that you have and will again heed the call of the Lord to take care of our tabernacle, our repairs, our restoration, or to beautify our campus. I know that every man and woman here will be eager to help in the work of the Lord and in his ministry and will give freely unto the Lord's work. We know that we have seamstresses and craftsmen and plumbers and electricians and the like from all the trades. And I know you will be eager to also get to work and in no doubt will respond to the Lord's call. And that there will again be more than enough to complete the task before us. As we come into this tabernacle, we will be reminded that we are indeed holy to the Lord, and we will know that God is with us. And we will be reminded also of our heavenly washing in the waters of holy baptism, knowing that here God sealed us into an eternal relationship with Him, adopting us as His sons and His daughters. We'll take and eat the bread of His presence and be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb here in Holy Communion. And we are indeed reminded we are holy to the Lord. And we are, yes, clothed in a robe of righteousness, wrapped up in the love of Christ, because, yes, we are indeed holy to the Lord. I hope you know that God wants a relationship with you. This is the day of your salvation. Don't let it pass if you're not yet in it. For God desires to have a working, living relationship with you, each and every one of you. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and bring you His peace. Amen. Please stand. Please join me in the confession of our faith this Sunday in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father is worshiped and glorified by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church, one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Lord and Savior Jesus, we do give you thanks, for you have indeed marked us as your children through the waters of holy baptism. We are reminded that our sins have been washed away, that we are clothed in a robe of righteousness, and yes, we are marked with the words, "Holy unto the Lord." We thank you, Lord Jesus, that our sins have also been forgiven, and you offer us the assurance of that as we partake of the holy meal called the Lord's Supper. O Lord, please welcome us as we come with bended knee and humbled heart, confessing our sins and shortcomings unto you. As we come forward, may we hear your words and believe in them, which say, "Take, eat, take and drink for the forgiveness of your sins." Help us with this meal to realize that our sins indeed have been forgiven. Lord, in your mercy, help us, O Lord, also to hear as a nation of your forgiveness and of your bond of peace that is enjoined and enwrapped us as a nation. We know that many people have many different opinions about decisions that were made this past week in our nation. We ask, O Lord, that you would be with our president, with our congressmen, with our senators, that you would heal those wounds that have been spoken of, that have been caused by this. And we ask, O Lord, that you would bring healing and peace upon our nation, and that your church would stand as that one who will proclaim there's forgiveness, there's restoration, there's hope, there is unity in you, Lord, that indeed we are one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, but we are one nation under you. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, now hear the prayers of your people that have been requested.
We come to you, first of all, praying for our government, all three branches, the legislative, the executive, the judicial, and we pray that you'd bring them together, that they would become unified and aligned with you, dear Heavenly Father. We pray for Mary Jean Carr, who has health issues. We just lift her up in prayer. Just ask you to comfort her and strengthen her and draw her nearer to you. We lift up in prayer Todd Wells, who's experiencing medical complications, and he requests prayers for his improved health. Then the following, we lift up before you in prayer families of those who've lost loved ones. We lift up in prayer the family of Chuck Hankins, that you'd comfort them and grant them your peace. We lift up in prayer the family of my Aunt Harriet Weber. My Uncle Jim Bersinger, and the family of my brother Greg Wiley. These all died this week. We ask you to comfort them over their loss. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Lord and Savior, we ask that you'd also be with our congregation as we go before the City Council on Wednesday. We ask, O Lord, that you'd move them to be merciful in granting us a reduction or elimination of any fines that were imposed upon our process, awaiting city codes and fathers to be able to allow us to complete our construction and the restorations for the Ruth Lane properties. We also ask for your mercy and for your grace as we deal with also the search for organist and administrative assistants and the like. And we ask you, O Lord, to lead us to the right people and ask your blessing upon us. Lord, in your mercy. And now, Lord, for all the prayers that have been spoken and unspoken, may you bring your blessing to bear on those prayers and those people who are requesting them. Lord, in your mercy. You may be seated. Be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, O Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of your mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of God and its glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your name, your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Thank you. remember us when you come into your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he took bread, gave thanks, and when he broke it, he gave thanks and gave it unto his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, in the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped and had given thanks, he gave it unto them, saying, "Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As oft as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Given unto death for you. Mary Luke, the body of Christ given unto death. may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. Amen. You may be seated.
You got the last three, right?
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Words out.
We have some announcements today. Confirmation lunches. We would love to have congregations help with providing lunches for our confirmation class and instructors. If you, your family, a group of friends, Bible study group, or leadership group would like to sign up to provide one of the meals, please sign up online or see your weekly. Love is in the air. Let's celebrate God's love for us and our love for each other on Valentine's Day. Join us on Friday, February 14th, Valentine's Day, in Fellowship Hall for a yummy Valentine dinner that consists of salad, apricot glazed turkey breast, roasted potatoes, green beans, and a special dessert prepared by our own chef, Rich Poole. Come at 6 o'clock for a social dinner, for a social time. Dinner will be served at 6:30. Tickets are $15 each, sold at the church on, they've added this weekend as well, okay. Bring your spouse, sweetie, friend, or neighbor. Get your tickets before they sell out. Adults only this time. We'll have more events to include kids in the future. Love as I have loved you, John 13:34. And then we have a change to the ladies' morning Bible studies on Tuesday. That will meet downstairs in the Magnolia Building conference room at 8:50 a.m. for prayer. The quote-unquote bless these lips study remains there, and the quote-unquote immerse class moves upstairs at 9 o'clock. Both classes wrap up around 10 a.m. Thank you.
Thanks, Doug. I wanted to make a few announcements. First of all, Trinity Grief Share is forming. It's actually, we've had 2 weeks of training and some other preparation and planning, and we're very thankful to Norma Smith and Linda Short and Kathy Aber, myself and others who will be joining us, and we want to thank them, and we hope that you'll be able to participate. This Thursday is the beginning class, and I want to say that if you understand, it's a 13-week class. If you cannot be at one of the sessions, we want you to know that's okay. It is, each lesson is self-contained, and those lessons can be made up or gone through at a later time. We also wanted to let you know that as we look at this, it's Thursdays at 1 p.m. until 3 p.m. And that is in the fellowship hall over here, and it's in the back part of the fellowship, 1 until 3 p.m. That begins this Thursday. And Norma, would you raise your hand so that people know that if you want to have ask a question, ask Norma or myself. Or you want to, you could ask her daughter, I guess. She says, okay. She's visiting us here today. I also would like to say when we start to look at the care packages for Operation Barnabas, there are some gathering on this coming weekend on Saturday. We'll meet at 9:30 in the Fellowship Hall at Christ the King Lutheran Church on Apopkin Vineland Road. And what we're going to do is be packing some of the boxes that are going to go to some of our veterans. Also, they have a Operation Barnabas meeting this Wednesday, the 19th in February. It's 6:30 in the Undercroft. I would also like to simply let you know that I sent out with our elders and with the board of, or the leadership council, something that we've been meeting about, praying about, talking about, and that is a potential service change for the congregation. What we would like to have you do is be aware of that And we will be talking and voting on that February 23rd, February 23rd at 12:30 p.m. And here are the changes that we're considering. We would like to have you realize this is a discussion, and so feel free to talk with me, the elders, or any of our leadership council. Here's what the changes are. Saturday would remain the same. We will have a 6 o'clock worship service, which right now also has a Bible study for foundations class with me. And then there's also an immersed Bible study, a new one that we added for the Saturday group. So I think we now have 7 immersed Bible studies going. The other thing I would like to say is that on Sunday morning, we would be dropping one of our services so that we could have a fellowship time for Bible study and fellowship in between the services. So the Sunday schedule would be 9 o'clock for a praise contemporary service, and then 10:15 for a fellowship and Bible study hour, and then at 11:15 we would start with the traditional service. Thus it would change this service time by 15 minutes. So it would accommodate us being able to come together and to have fellowship together and have a place for our visitors to meet with us and us with them. We don't have any time that this really occurs right now. So we hope you'll pray about it, think about it, and see what would be best for God's church and his people. And we hope that we'll hear from you if you have any concerns or comments. This is a consideration, it is a discussion, and so we hope to hear from you. And if you have any questions or comments today, please do speak with me or one of our elders before you leave today. I believe those are all the announcements. And I would like to say our final hymn is out of the hymnal. And it's the words are not up on the screen, so you'll need to turn to your hymnals. Hymn 643. Please stand and sent forth by God's blessing.